morning, everybody. You want to just sit down? I was just saying to Catherine in the vestry, actually, it's a bit like coming to a new church this morning, actually, that I've never been to before. It's been such a long time, actually, since I've been here for various reasons. And, of course, at Carey at the moment, our minister, Peter Strong, retired in the summer, so I'm having to sort of spend a bit more time doing things over there as well. But my commitment is to try and split my time about 50-50 between Carey and Kingsthorpe. So that's the plan. But it's good, nice to be here this morning, and thanks to Dawn for sorting the heating out, so at least it's nice and warm today as well. We've decided this morning to have a slightly shorter than normal service, because afterwards we've got the annual general meeting and a church meeting as well. And obviously people need to get home and have their lunch and what have you afterwards. So that's the plan today. So if it doesn't go on as long as you think it ought to, you've been a bit short-changed. That's the reason why. Just want to let you know, Sandra's going to be leading us on the piano this morning, and thanks to Sandra for that. So it's good to do that, because Janet and Steve are away this weekend. Some words from Psalm 95. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. Our first song this morning is Come People of the Risen King. We've sung this a few times before, actually, and I think hopefully you'll pick it up as we go along. It's a nice, easy one to do. So I'll let Sandra play it through, and then we'll join in and stand. Okay.
Shivering.
Let's pray. Let's come to God in prayer. Let's just spend a few moments just being still, just reminding ourselves that God is here with us this morning through his Spirit. Let's take a moment to just to acknowledge the presence of God here with us today. Father, in your presence there is fullness of joy. And we do pray, Lord, this morning that we might have complete joy as we meet together in your name and in the name of your Son, Jesus, our Saviour. We thank you, Father, for your faithfulness to us. Father, when we read the Bible, when we look back at our lives, at the things, Lord, that have happened in this church, Lord, at Kingsthorpe, we can see your hand having been at work. The things, Father, that you have kept safe, the things, Lord, that you have moved us on with. And we thank you, Lord, that in everything you were there, that you are there, and you will continue, Lord, to be there with us. We pray, Father, this morning that we might be able to worship you freely, that we might be able to worship you in spirit and in truth, that we might give, Lord, of ourselves, that we might be honest and open with you, that you might reveal, Lord, your will to us this morning. You might speak to us. You might minister to us, that you might meet the needs, Lord, that each one of us have, wherever we are, Father, in our lives today. We just pray, Lord, that as we meet together, we might join together, Father, that we might worship together and just know your presence here, Father. Just may this hour, Lord, be a time of real joy and of real worship and of real pleasure, Father, that we might have, when we go home today, Lord, we might really feel that we've been in the presence of Almighty God and have had a foretaste, Lord, of your our time, Lord, when we join you in heaven. We just pray these things, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask Adrian now, who's going to read to us from a book that we very, very rarely consider in church. It's the book of Revelation.
Revelation chapter 3, beginning at verse 14. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were either one or the other. So, because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with them, and they with me. To those who are victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Thanks be to God for his word. Amen.
Thank you, Adrian, for those words. I've got some slides that I'm going to show to go with my talk this morning. I wanted to consider the first thing is about church. You know, we use this word, don't we, very often, and it's a kind of one of those terms, isn't it, that sometimes difficult to work out exactly sort of what it means. But I've just got a few questions, really, for you to think about this morning. You know, what is the purpose of church? Why do we come to church? And why are we here today? The word church actually didn't really come into existence, if you read the New Testament, until sort of fairly early on, in actual fact, in the book of Acts. And the word church wasn't sort of coined as a term until quite a few years after Jesus died. So it's a relatively kind of newish word in a way. But when we talk about church, people very often think about the building, don't they? But I want to suggest really that the church is not the building, but it's the people. And the people are the building of the church. I know when we were doing lockdown, actually, people used to say to me, when's church going to open again? And what they really meant was, you know, when's the building going to be open again so we can come into the building? And I used to reply to them, well, you know, it's never shut. You know, church is always there. And, you know, when you think about it, you know, the way that we are together, and then I like to think of church as a fellowship, as a gathering of people. And certainly over the last 18 months, really, we've kept together, some of us through Zoom and the internet, some of us by email. Some of us have managed to gather together in places together, in the parks and things, by phone and by various other methods and things. You know, all ways in which we keep together, isn't it? We need to think that church is much greater than just coming together to meet in this particular building at any one time. So when John had that revelation from Jesus, and he was talking about churches, he wasn't talking about buildings, he was talking about gatherings of people, about different fellowships meeting together. And if you read the two chapters in Revelation, chapters 2 and chapters 3, he talks to seven different churches that were around during that time. There was a church at Ephesus, which Jesus says that it abandoned their first love. There's the church at Smyrna, and he foretold about the full persecution that it would undertake. The church at Pergamon and its need to repent of its sin. The church of Thyatira, and who were having trouble with false prophecies and people leaders leading people astray. There was the church at Sardis, the sleeping church that needed to wake up, and the church at Philadelphia, who was persevering And finally, this church, which is the reading that Adrian has just read, the church at Laodicea, which Jesus said was lukewarm. It was neither one thing nor the other. So I just want to look at two verses from that reading that Adrian read to us this morning. The first one is verse 15. And he said, Jesus says this, he says, I know your deeds, that you are neither hot, cold, nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. Now, I don't know about you, when I like have a drink, I have a coffee or a tea, I like it nice and hot. I'm not that keen on the slightly cold coffee or lukewarm drinks. And if I have a glass of water, but this is a fresh one, not last week's, I'm hoping that this is going to be nice and cold. Not bad, nice vintage, I think this is. I like it to be nice and cold. And I know when Sandra, I make Sandra a cold drink of squash. She likes ice in it. She likes it really ice cold to do. But there's nothing worse, is there, actually, than a lukewarm cup of squash, a glass of squash, or a lukewarm cup of tea. And Jesus is saying here, look at your faith. Is it either one thing nor the other? And the Israelites, you know, if you look at the Old Testament, God constantly said to them, look, you know, you've got to be serious about your faith. It's no good having one foot in one camp and one foot in another. It's either all or nothing. And I think it's a real challenge for us, isn't it, really? And I think these last few couple of years have been a real challenge to many Christians as to their faith, isn't it? You know, lots of things have been taken away from us, things that we've taken for granted. But despite all of these things that have been taken away, you know, we're still here today, aren't we? You know, we're still able to meet and people have kept going. And we need to think, I think, about what is important. You know, so often we put our trust in things, in buildings, in certain ways in which we do things, in rituals and that type of thing. But Jesus wants us to take all of these things away and see that being together as a fellowship and worshipping him is the right thing to do. So that's the first verse I want us to think about. The second verse is probably one of the most famous verses in the Bible. It's verse 20. And it says this, it says, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. When my mum passed away a couple of years ago, she had a picture, a tapestry actually, of a famous painting. I don't know whether you can see that very clearly. It's a painting called The Light of the World, and it's by an artist called Holman Hunt. I expect some of you have probably, you know, seen this. It's quite a famous painting. And you can see in the picture there, it's a picture of Jesus. And in one hand, he's holding a lantern. And with his other hand, he's got his hand on the door. And he's knocking at the door. And I think that's a nice picture, isn't it, actually, of Jesus standing there as the light of the world, knocking on this door. And somebody said to the artist, they said, and they looked at this picture, and they said, well, hang on a minute, you know, Jesus is knocking at this door, but where's the door handle on the door? And if you look very carefully, if you type in Holman Hunt, the light, Christ, the light of the world, you'll get this up on the internet. If you look very carefully at the picture, there's actually no door handle on the door there. And he said, well, no, there's purposely no door handle on the door there because the door handle is on the other side. You know, Jesus is knocking on the door, and it's up to us on the other side of the door to open the door and to let Christ in. You know, it's so easy, isn't it, to come together, to worship together, to meet together, to call ourselves a church, and to leave Jesus on the other side of the door, to leave him out of the building altogether. You know, we're so busy doing all the stuff that we do. I went away on holiday last week with my grandchildren, actually, and Martin was telling me about the deacon's meeting, which apparently went on for 2.5 hours, which has got to be a new world record, I think, of that. And, you know, it makes you think, doesn't it, about the time that we spend doing stuff just to kind of keep the building going and, you know, just administration types of discussions that we had, and the little amount of time we actually spend worshipping and thinking and putting Jesus at the very centre of what we do. You know, the what I would call the kind of peripherals of church can very often take up a disproportionate amount of our time compared with the essentials of putting Jesus at the very centre of what we do. Now, the church at Laodicea, or rather the building, the remains of the building, it's a picture of the remains. If you go to Laodicea in Turkey, I think it is somewhere, there that is the remains of the church building, of the thing that, where the Christians used to meet in those early times. But I think it's a picture for us today, isn't it, of church. You know, does our church look like that? You know, a bit kind of, you know, crumbling at the edges and, you know, a bit sort of ruined and, you know, a bit broken down, a bit sort of old-fashioned or whatever it means. So the question today, really, I think for us is, are we dead ruins? Are we dead ruins? Or are we living stones? You know, those words, isn't it, in 1 Peter, where he talks about Christ being the cornerstone, the foundation of our faith, and us being built up in some living stones to be part of a spiritual building, not a physical building. So I think we just need to think today about, you know, ensuring that Jesus is at the very center of everything that we do today, because he is our cornerstone, isn't he? He's the foundation of our faith. Amen. We're going to sing again, and the next hymn is "O Breath of Life, Come Sweeping Through Us." were slightly out of sync with the words there at one point, weren't we? Better the Eric Morecambe. We were singing the right words, but not necessarily in the right order, weren't we? Right, I just want to spend a few moments now just to bring in our needs to God. And I want to pray particularly, I think, for church, I think, you know, not just for this church, but for many churches. I think, you know, there's a lot of churches that are really struggling at the moment, aren't they, in different ways. I was quite surprised, I don't know, some of you might take the Central Baptist Association newsletter, actually, which is on circulation. And I was quite shocked to read about a church in Watford that Sandra and I went down to an induction service about 6 or 7 years ago when a new minister was appointed to find out that it's actually closing now, you know, and it seemed quite a vibrant church with quite a big membership in it, Leveson Road in Watford, where Kevin Price was minister there. So I was quite shocked, really, to find this. And I've heard recently of many other churches that are really struggling at the moment. So I think we just need to think about churches generally and our own needs as well. So let's just pray. Father, we just pause now and come before you in prayer. Lord, we acknowledge so often that we get so bogged down with the other problems and difficulties, Lord, of life, that we look down instead of up at you. And we just pray, Father, this morning that as we come together in prayer, that we might look up. We might hear your voice, Father, speaking to us, because you're standing there, Lord, at the door, and you're knocking, and you want us to answer, to hear your knock, to hear your voice calling to us, because, Father, you want a church that is in tune with your will. We pray, Father, for those churches, Lord, across the world that are struggling at the moment. Churches, Lord, in our own country, Baptist and churches and other denominations, Father, that have had an effect, Lord, because of the restrictions over the last couple of years. And many, Father, are just finding it really difficult to meet together. Lack of finances, Father. Difficulties, Lord, in finding leaders and ministers. Problems with buildings, Lord, that have been unoccupied for many months. Lord, we just pray that you will be with them, that you might give them guidance and help to make the right decisions, Father, as they move forward. We think of those churches, Lord, that are under the threat of persecution. Those, Father, that don't have the luxury of buildings or things, Lord, that they have, but have to meet in secret, Father. Though we pray, Lord, for those churches that are in that situation. And for the people, Father, that live in fear of prison and death even, Father, because of their faith. We just bring them to you today. We think of organisations like Open Doors who seek to bring help and support, Father, to persecuted Christians across the world. We pray, Lord, this morning for our own church here at Kingsthorpe. As we've already said, Lord, that we thank you for your presence here over these last years. We pray, Father, for the meetings that we're going to have in a few moments. We pray, Lord, that you might help us to make the right decisions, that you might, Lord, find the workers to gather in the harvest, Lord, and to do the work, Lord, that's needed. that you'll help us, Lord, to make wise decisions as stewards, Father, of the things that you have given to us, that you've trusted us to look after. We pray, Lord, that you might give us wisdom, Father, as to our relationship and our walk with the Methodists, Lord. Help us, Father, to do the right thing. May we know your will. Speak to us, Lord, clearly, and make us able to listen, Father. Maybe perhaps to do things, Lord, that are outside of our comfort zone, things, Lord, that we need to do to move on with you. And finally, Lord, we just pray for ourselves as individuals. As we said earlier, that the church is not a building, but the people. And the people are the building of the church. And so, Father, we just pray that you will look after us, our needs. Help to make us strong, Lord. Give us the wisdom, Lord, that we need. Give us the eyes, Father, to see the things that need doing. We pray, Lord, for those who are laid aside at the moment, those who are unwell, those who are finding life difficult at the moment, those who are bereaved, those who've got issues, Lord, with job and finances or with family. Lord, you place us in many different situations, and we just pray, Lord, that whatever situation that we're in might be the place that we can use to bring glory to you. We just pray, Lord, your presence with us today. Guide us and guard us in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we just say the Lord's Prayer together? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We're going to sing now our final hymn together, In Christ Alone, and just reminds us that Christ is our cornerstone.
Oh,
Sit down, then we'll stand up and say the grace together. It's a bit of a longish end reading, this is, so you might fall over before it's finished. I just want to read you a few verses from the book of Jude, which is the book just before the book of Revelation, actually. And there's quite a lot of similarities if you read the two books and look at them in terms of the sort of prophetic nature of both books. And Jude says this. He says, "But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. To others, show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. And to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore." Amen. Shall we stand and just say the grace together and to one another to finish? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God,
the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Holy goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. We shall dwell in the house of the Lord.
What's all that about? I mean, he was doing their own Christ. Did you hear that? Thank you.